Hi everyone, I'm your host Julia Cardoso. Welcome to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So for this episode, I'd like to talk about the connection between religion and mental health. So first I'm going to give you some background about my religious experiences. So I grew up Catholic. I was baptized actually at the age of 14 as a Catholic, and I did feel like my mom was really supportive, and I had a choice as to what religion I wanted to join, and she was really supportive in letting me explore, and it led me to the Catholic faith. And I also feel like it was a little biased because everyone around me was Catholic, so that's just what I knew, so I just figured, hey, might as well just do what everyone else is doing. And one thing that I immediately noticed is I never really felt a spiritual connection. Like, going to church every Sunday, I felt good. I was like, oh, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I have to go to church every Sunday. And I felt good coming out of church, but I never felt like, you know, I never felt that connection with God or with any spiritual being. And I definitely feel like that growing up and having that experience, not feeling connected, definitely added to my mental health issues and my anxiety. Because I didn't have anything to believe in. When you don't have anything to believe in, you don't have religion as a coping mechanism. And also, with me having this immense fear of death, I had nothing to really comfort me. But now, as I am 21, I took a world religion class last semester, and I was able to explore, we learned about all the religions. We had to go to different site visits. Like, we visited Buddhist temple, we visited a Muslim temple, and we also went to Catholic church and a Hindu temple. Like, we were able to really reflect and study religion objectively and really see how they intertwine and how they are separately. And this class really led me to learn a little bit more about Hinduism and especially Buddhism. And with Buddhism, I feel a lot more connected spiritually. Like, I can really read the text and really connect with it and apply it to what I'm going through in my daily life. And that gives me a lot more comfort than I got when I was practicing Catholicism. I can definitely feel a really big difference with my anxiety now as it was before when I was practicing Catholicism. And this has led me to really research, like, is there a link between religion and mental health? Does having a religious spiritual connection make you have better mental health? And does not having it make you have a worse mental health? And I found some studies that were really interesting, so I'm going to share with you guys. So there was a study published in the Journal of Religion and Health, and it said that people who believe in angry gods tend to suffer from more social anxiety, paranoia, and obsessive thinking. And I can definitely see how this is, how they thought that, because I guess when I was in the Catholic Church, a lot of what they teach us, it's like, you know, you have to do the right thing or you're going to go to hell, or, you know, you have to be a certain type of person. You can't do this, you can't do that. Like, it was a lot of, like, negativity in a way. Like, it was angry. And it made me scared because I'm like, oh, man, what if I'm not doing this right? What if, you know, I don't want to go to hell? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I can't really. And I didn't feel like I had any room to question anything. I just had to listen to what they were saying and do what they say. Follow the Ten Commandments, live my life according to the way Christ lived his life, or else I'm not good enough. And that's how I felt like. That's where I feel like the anxiety came in, just not feeling really connected and not really having room to challenge my beliefs. And based on the 2011 poll on religion, there's just some findings that they found. They found that there are three types of deities: a punitive God, a benevolent God, and an uninvolved God. And the findings from the poll suggested that mental illnesses occurred more when someone had a punitive God. And of course, it's not to say that that causes mental illness. It's just a correlation that they found between the two variables. And like, again, I can see how someone who has a God who's going to give them punishments when they do something wrong, or who really focuses on, you know, doing the right thing, how that can really add to people's anxieties and paranoia about the afterlife and what's going to happen when you die and stuff like that. So I can definitely agree. But on the other hand, I can also see how religion can definitely play a huge role in people's lives positively. It can be a source of strength. Like, you feel empowered when you have this really good connection with a spiritual being. It can also be used as a coping mechanism during times of stress and illness. Whenever, you know, something really traumatic happened, people really also always turn to religion, and having that outlet is really beneficial to just, like, have something to turn to when things get hard. Also, religion serves as a basis for moral values and social development. A lot of religious groups really focus on, you know, compassion and doing things that are good for the environment, good for yourself. And I think that's, these are really great qualities that everyone should share and that all religions preach about. Also, it also provides the core of human well-being. The more, I definitely agree with the fact that the more you have these positive outlets and these positive people around you in your life, and like a positive relationship with a spiritual being, the better your mental health will be, because you know that you can turn to that when things get hard, or you know that this is how you want to live your life, and you're able to really grow as a person. So I can definitely see how religion can have both a negative sometimes and a positive outlet on people's mental illnesses. And I definitely see how it's all how you, you have to find your place in the world and what you believe in. And I'm not saying that, and people who are atheists, who have other beliefs, they can also have good mental health. So it's all about standing behind your own beliefs and learning how to deal with your mental health along with it. All right, so the next part of this podcast is going to be an interview that I had with Emma. She's 21 from Ohio. She's going to be talking about how it was like to grow up in a religious household, coming out as a cisgendered bisexual female, and how this affected her mental health. And I just want to say thank you, Emma. She was a really, really great person to interview, and she's just really full of life and energy, and I hope you guys enjoy her interview. So explain, what mental illness do you live with and when you got diagnosed and your history with that?
Okay, well, let's see. I was diagnosed in October of last year, so 2012, and I was first diagnosed with just generalized anxiety disorder, and I had gone to my family doctor, like the one I had had since I was like 2. And that was probably not a good idea, because he knew my family, and he knew my parents, and he didn't really know me, he just knew who I was, and I had explained in the email that when I started telling him, like, about my life and my choices, that there was a point where he just kind of cut me off and didn't really treat me as a person. And so I only really visited him, or had a meeting with him, I guess is whatever you want to call it, like once or twice after he tried putting me on Xanax, and that didn't work. It didn't do anything for me, which usually helps people, but it did crap, absolute crap for me. Oh, and man. So then I changed doctors, because my aunt is a therapist, and I had talked to her about it. I said, you know, is there anybody you know who would be better? And so she suggested a woman named Julie. So I went to Dr. Julie, and she said, you know, it sounds like, yeah, you've got generalized anxiety disorder, but then you've also got a panic disorder. And I didn't, like, of course, that kind of put me on high alert. I was like, I have no idea what that means. And she was like, well, just by what you've told me about things that you have panic attacks about, or anxiety attacks about, or things that, you know, make you really on edge, she was like, She was like, we're just going to switch your title or your diagnosis to a panic disorder with generalized anxiety disorder. I always knew I was a different kid mm-hmm. because of things that scared me that I knew other people weren't afraid of, like the thing with traffic jams. I don't know how other people feel about traffic jams. I know they make them angry, but with me, I can't sit in a traffic jam or be stuck in my car or like because you have nowhere to go.
Right.
Like, if something bad happens, definitely. Like, oh, you stuck. Like, you ain't going nowhere.
Oh, my God. I was thinking the same thing yesterday on the train.
Oh.
And it was so bad, because I was like, what if I just panic right now? Where am I going to go? Like, I can't run out. There's nowhere to go.
Like, you can attempt to run out, but you might, you know.
Right.
You might hit a wall. Like, you might fall on the track, and I prefer not to have you fall on the track. Right. So. But and you know, my mom would always tell me, like, it's all in your head, you know, you're letting your imagination get the best of things. And I'm like, no, I'm not. There's seriously something wrong with me. There's something going on, and I don't know what it is, you know. And for a while there, I was just like, oh, my mom's totally right, like, it's all just in my head, like, whatever. But no, like, if you think something's wrong, like, you should just go and figure out if it is all in your head or if there is some, you know, something actually going on. Because, you know, if you don't, it'll just sit there in the back of your mind forever and ever.
Definitely. So maybe you can explain, like, what was it like for you growing up? You said your parents are really religious. And
yeah. Oh, man.
Like, explain, like, when you said you came out to them and how that went.
Well, I came out to my parents last fall? No, actually, the fall of 2011, like the fall, winter of 2011. And I didn't really know how to tell my parents. I came out as a bisexual, and I have a cousin who identifies as a lesbian, and my mom's like, she doesn't really ignore her, but I mean, she talks to her, but she doesn't like to talk about her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, growing up in a religious household in a conservative town, it's hard. And especially since my dad was a pastor and he's so involved with the church, it's almost like living under a microscope, because everybody wants to know what you're doing, like if you have a job, what you're doing in school. You know, when I was in high school, they would ask me about, you know, sports and stuff, and I'm like, I don't really know you, I don't want to talk to you about this, just, you know, just because you know my dad, and my dad, you know, talks to you in the church and the congregation doesn't mean that I need to or that I want to. And I was baptized and born in the Methodist church, but, oh man, when people don't talk about stuff, I'm like, what are you doing with your life?
It just eats you up inside. Like, you gotta let it out.
It totally does. It kills you. It does. It just, it's like poison. It's just, you know, you can't drink poison and think you're gonna live forever. My mom actually sent me on a retreat when I was in high school, and I didn't want to go. I was so angry with my mom, and I think that had to do with me keeping my sexual orientation such a huge secret, because I didn't want her to, like, send me away to, like, some church camp thing or, like, some rehabilitation program to try and pray away the gay, because I would have lost my shit if she would have done that.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. When I came out, my parents were like, well, you can't be who you are in this house.
Oh, wow.
They sat me down and they said, you can't. I mean, it's always been a rule in our house, if like for my sister and I, my older sister, you can't have a boy in your room or upstairs unless you're married. And, you know, when I, you know, coming out as a bisexual, I don't really close the door off to men or to women. So that kind of like, it's not a double standard. Oh, it's like a catch-22. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Right.
So they were like, you can't basically have anybody that we don't know upstairs with you. Because I still live at home.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Oh, that must really, really suck.
People always think that when somebody goes against their parents' beliefs or doesn't go down the same path, that they're doing it to be rebellious or that they're doing it in spite of them. And it's like, no, that's really not how it goes. Because if I were to do something in spite of them, I would do something that I know would, that I would do something to deliberately upset them or hurt them. But I didn't necessarily choose to not go to church. It's just not for me, you know? Some people need that building, and they need that community, and they need that sense of belonging to a, I guess, a higher power, but I don't really need that right now. I mean, I'm not saying that in the future I won't be religious or, you know, become part of a church, but right now, I don't, it's not for me, and I don't think my parents understand that.
Right.
And once again, it's hard because they don't like to talk about shit. And that's so difficult. It's so hard.
I bet. Oh my goodness.
It is. Yes. Oh my goodness is the phrase for the night.
So how was your process of like being in school with the anxiety and panic disorder?
It sucked. It sucked, and I, oh man, I'm still trying to deal with it right now, like, in this very moment, as we're speaking, because I withdrew from my spring semester this year, and then I have 3 classes left until I graduate. I went to a small community college. I didn't know anybody. Nobody else who had graduated with me from high school was going there, who was going to be in my major or be in any of my classes. So to walk into a classroom and have 20-some-odd eyes look at you and go, I'm judging you. Don't take it personally. it's a lot to absorb, and it's a lot to deal with. It's like a... It'd be like going to a concert and dressing up in a Halloween costume when really it's a Christmas concert, and everybody just kind of looks at you like, what are you doing with your life?
Right.
What are the choices that you are making? Why are you dressed like that? Why is your hair like that? Why do you have so many book bags? Or why do you have so many pencils? And I have to sit in the back of the room when I go to a new classroom, because then nobody can see me. Like,
that's funny. I sit in the front so I can be closer to the door, so when it's time to go, I just run out.
Oh, no. I don't like school. I just don't like humanity. Let's just put it that way. I don't like humanity.
I can only get a certain amount of dosage of humanity for a day.
Like, the general population I choose not to interact with.
How do you describe your anxiety to others?
I have the perfect answer for this. Well, what I believe is the perfect answer. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
My perception of reality and your perception of reality, the things that make me anxious or make me scared or make my pulse race a little bit faster are completely different from the things that scare you. I don't like traffic jams. I don't like things that aren't structured. I can't really deal with getting in trouble with authority. I don't like being reprimanded, I guess is the word. it just breaks me down. I wish that I liked flying or that I liked traffic jams because you can get a temporary suntan, or that I liked asking for help, which nobody really likes asking for help.
Right.
Because it's like, I'm a weak individual. I cannot do this on my own. Will you please help me, but not tell anybody? Mm. And so, it sucks.
It really does.
It does. And so, I always just tell people, think of it like, David Bowie, The Labyrinth. Think of it like The Labyrinth. How I find my way through the maze and how you find your way through the maze, they might be the same, but we could be seeing two different things.
Exactly.
Like, I could be going left, you could be going right. Or you could see short walls and I could see tall ones.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Right. You have not walked in my shoes and gone through what I've gone through and had these thoughts. You can't tell me what I'm feeling is not valid.
It's not real.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so when people just say, "Oh, you just gotta calm down,"
or get over it, and
that's
the worst. Relax or get over it. Like, no,
like,
don't tell me that.
How much you get over it?
Right,
like, you get over your exaggerated sense of self, and I'll come back to you after you have a nap.
Right.
Like, I also just tell if people, say. So, what's it like having anxiety? Nobody's asked me that yet, but I imagine that one day it's going to happen. And I'll just be like, I don't know, how about I make your worst fears and nightmares come to life and multiply it times 10, and then you tell me what it's like.
Right. And it's like, you're like, your mind is telling you your fears are, like, happening right now, and then your body, like, reinforces it because all these things are happening.
Yeah,
and it's like, how can you convince me that I'm not in danger when my mind and my body is telling me that I'm in danger? Like, it's crazy.
Like that whole fight or flight thing.
Yeah.
Like, people, you know, like, if my brain is telling me, you gotta get your shit, you gotta get out of here, then you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get my shit and I'm gonna get out of here. Like, I didn't make my brain, you know, somebody else made it, so clearly they knew what they were doing, or maybe they didn't, but that's not the point. The point is that people should really just, you know, to everybody out there who's like, I don't know what to do, if somebody, you know, my friend had an anxiety attack, or my friend was, you know, hyperventilating, okay, sit there with them, ask them if there's anything you can do. Maybe hold their hand. Maybe you should hug them. Maybe not. Some people don't like being touched.
I don't.
Okay, Julia doesn't like being hugged. So now we know. Everybody knows.
Have you felt personally stigmatized by having your mental illness?
Stigmatized. Does that mean like stereotyped?
Yeah.
Like put in a box?
Yep.
And pointed at and laughed at?
Yep,
I did. I have. However, in the past month, two girls that I know that I've opened up to about anxiety and, you know, the troubles I've had with medicine and stuff like that, they've both, one girl asked me, you know, what did you do when you realized you had anxiety? And I was like, I just went to my doctor. Doesn't everybody do that? And she was like, I don't like my doctor. I was like, then go see my doctor. She's nice. She was like, okay. So, like, I gave her the number, and she's going to go see the doctor. Or I think she went and saw her last week. I don't remember. And so I was like, it's awesome. Look at me.
That's great.
Help somebody. So, yes. I guess I have personal statement signs.
Okay.
Stereotypes. I don't know. You tell people you're on meds for something, and they're like, why? Why can't you handle your own shit? And I'm like, you know what? Because I don't want to. So I'm going to make somebody else do it for me.
Right. But yeah, that is so true.
It is. Maybe I don't feel like dealing with my own crap. Mm-hmm. There are some days I just don't want to. So I'm like, fine, I'm just going to go back to bed.
Right.
So to end this podcast, I'm going to read some responses I got from a question that I posted on my blog. The question is, how has religion played a role in your mental health? Just having that relationship with Christ has strengthened my mental health so much. Living with anxiety is hard, but knowing that God is always there reminds me that I'm going to make it. Religion actually plays a huge role in my recovery. I write letters to God when I journal and I ask Him for advice. I believe He has a plan for me and every challenge I face, He can help me overcome. It's funny because I'm not exactly sure what religion I am, I just know I believe in God. People advocate religion for those having a mental crisis, but in fact, the Bible provides a lot of negativity for a mind that is already disturbed to latch onto and to interpret a literal sense. Plus, it provides an assurance that the Bible is the truth. That is a recipe for disaster. Religion is a very dangerous thing. I'm highly against it. A girl who started a prayer group at school got all the scholarships I applied for, even though I did far more community service. She didn't even need them. I can't afford school now, and I can't find a job, so my anxiety is through the roof. And that just goes to show that people have so many different relationships with religion. Some people find it helpful, some people find it not so helpful, and some people have good relationships with it, and some don't. And I think being able to find your balance with what you believe in and your health and all the social externalities that come along with it can be really good in the long run for yourself. I'd like to say thank you to my audio consultant, Jean, the music composer at least, all my Tumblr followers. And the question for next week's podcast is going to be, what is the most difficult part about balancing work and having a mental illness? To answer this question, you can email me at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. Also, email me with any questions or concerns you may have and any tips on how I can improve this podcast for you. Also, you can find me on Twitter @anxioussurvivor. Thank you all for listening. Hope you all tune in next time.